I'm sure. But keep your voice low, even here. Stasi gave him a look that might have meant anything. The little bird was hopping about in the long grass, perhaps searching for insects. She'd offered no further explanation for that mystery, and he didn't plan to ask. There's only one question that matters, she said now, continuing to scrub a cook pot as she spoke. Or maybe two. Where are we going, and why? I should have said thank you for rescuing us, for saving us. I do say it, but this is a big thing for you, isn't it? And you get in terrible trouble. Alexis drew a deep breath. This was hardly the best setting in which to tell her, but he had to get the truth out. Right now. Stasia? I can't take you back to Hartwood Settlement. Rihard, the commander, and his men are still there. I suggested to the ruler that she recall them, but she dismissed that idea. She did send a message requesting that they hold back on their advance into the forest until she'd had more time to consider the current situation. I wrote that for her. Whether Rihard has done so, I don't know. But with them still in place, it wouldn't be safe for you there, or for Lucas. She crouched there, very still, scrubbing brush in hand, saying not a word, waiting, knowing something was coming. We're going back to that general area. Not on main roads. Not through any of the larger settlements. At a certain point, we'll leave these horses in good care and continue on foot. That's if you agree to the plan. Say it, he ordered himself. Get the words out. What sort of man are you? Plan? Stasia echoed. What plan? I'll tell you. I ask you to hear me out, please. Silence. I need to get to the hermit, Stasia. He heard her indrawn breath. He could not meet her eyes, or close to it. I'm asking you to guide me there, with my companions. Just this small group, no more. No cutting down of trees, no hacking out of paths now or in the future, I promise. Her body had frozen up. He did not need to touch her to know it. It was as if she was suddenly unable to move so much as a little finger, as if she'd stopped breathing. And then he made himself look and saw utter horror on her face. Worse than that, bitter disappointment. This was exactly what he had feared. Exactly what she wanted, Stasia said. She kept her voice quiet, as requested, but her tone pierced him like a knife. To rule her. The last time she questioned me, when you were away. She tried to coax me into it, said it would be a small party, no destruction, exactly like this. She was moving her fingers in some kind of pattern, perhaps to keep herself calm. I thought she might shout at him, scream abuse, or perhaps shed tears. This was almost worse. You're a liar, Alexis. You've been playing her game all along. Why did it have to come to this? They were going to whip me to death. I really thought... She was losing control of her voice. It was rising fast. He put a finger to his lips. You haven't let me answer the second part of your question. How could that make any difference? She got to her feet, hugging her arms around herself and turning her face away. It might, Stasia. First, I should make it clear that from the moment we left Dragon's Keep, I knew I was leaving my position of trust as Lady Elisabetta's advisor. It was my decision to act as I did, and mine alone. Those who helped me did so at my request, not the ruler's. I gave them a choice. All of us. We'll have lost our posts at court over this, and any return there would be perilous for us. But it doesn't make sense. You had a plan in place. Horses ready to go. The way we got out through that grating, we did that in the middle of the night without anyone stopping us. Mattis and the others must have known about that plan even before you went away. It can't have been something you just decided that night. Last night, she added. Reflecting his own astonishment, that so much could change in the space of a day. There was a plan in place, yes. It was waiting only for the right time. We had to act sooner than I'd intended because of the situation with you and Lucas. But yes, we were ready. It was sad that we had to leave our own horses behind. We couldn't expect them to go on straight after a very long day's ride. She turned back to face him. Steadier now. The bird flew up to her shoulder, settled there. It too was watching him. Maybe, if he said the wrong thing, it might become a ravening wolf or ferocious bear at a snap of the fingers. Was that possible? If you wanted me to do this, why didn't you ask me when we were in Hartwood? Stasia challenged. Why wait until so much went wrong and so many folk were hurt? Why take me and Lucas all the way to court where she... I don't need to tell you what she did. You must know most of it. Alexis sighed. I remind you that I was sent to Hartwood specifically to report back on Rihard's progress with his mission, or so the ruler believed. I had my own reasons for being there. The commander's approach to the task he'd been given was, I knew, likely to be less than subtle. Rihard is not exactly known for his compassion. Once I saw the situation at Hartwood, I sent the note I mentioned before. Before there was any response from the ruler, there came the fire. It was imperative to get the injured out, and I left Hartwood for that reason. Lucas was hurt, and you were in danger, having drawn yourself to the commander's attention. So I came with you, and so did Irina, who was then imprisoned and tortured until she gave up hope and killed herself. And now you expect me to do precisely what I've refused to do every single time the ruler pushed and threatened and badgered me to agree to it. Mattis had appeared in the doorway of the cottage, looking across the yard at the two of them. Alexis gave him a nod that might have meant, all's well. The big man retreated indoors. But all was far from well. Stasia, what happened to Irina was terrible. Every moment I regret agreeing to go to Raven's Watch. I regret staying as long as I did, though the delay was not of my making. I'm deeply sorry, but I could not save your friend. She deserved none of this. But here we are, and I'm doing my best to explain. Stasia put a hand to her face, perhaps wiping away tears. So explain. Why? Why do you want to get to the Hermit if it's not to rip out the hidden treasure that's supposed to be there and enrich yourself? What is so important that you'd turn against the ruler and risk not only your own life, but those of everyone who has helped you? Shouldn't you know better than that? Aren't royal advisers supposed to be wise? Haven't you been one for years? He grimaced. A few years, yes. For Lord Casimir, before Elisabetta. My father was senior advisor before me. I was more or less brought up at court. Yet now you walk away from it. There was new note in Stasia's voice. Curiosity? It's time. I must walk away. I have my own mission. A story that began when I was young. A story that still isn't finished. But I can't tell you that tale now. Why not, Alexis? Sometimes not knowing is safer. But a time will come when I can share it. I will tell you the tale then, I promise, before we reach our destination. I'm tired of secrets, she said. And I don't trust promises, not now. And although she did not add, especially not from you, Alexis heard those words as if she'd spoken them aloud. Then I will make promises only to myself. If you will come with us, you can help put an end to the time of secrets. We can make it a time of hope. Stasia had returned to rinsing out the cookpot, as if tired of his nonsense. It was only as he was collecting spoons, knives and platters to take them back inside that she said quietly, "A time of hope. That sounds good. I wish I could believe you." She bent to retrieve the other pot. Stasia? She looked up and met his eye. What you said before, about the whipping? What exactly did they tell you? Did they say the punishment was intended for you? After a moment, she said, "That was what I heard. Thought I heard. 50 lashes at dawn. 2 chances to stop it if I agreed to do what she wanted. They came past twice, and I didn't speak." Pause. She had gone ashen pale, and he regretted asking. "What are you saying? Did I get it wrong? I thought that was why you... The ruler wouldn't have done that. She needed you to be alive. It was Lucas who was to be whipped. Pavel told us everyone at court was talking about it. The word had got round quickly. If you had held out until morning, they would have made you watch, hoping you would change your mind before it was too late." She made a sound that tore his heart. He crouched down next to her, putting his hand on her shoulder. "You're safe now," he said. "You're both safe, and we'll do our best to keep it that way." "Oh, gods," Stasia said, her hands over her face. "I was upset, angry, and tired, so tired. I think I was shouting, fighting. I can't remember, not properly. It's all a blur. Oh, poor Lucas, he must think..." "Would you have done as Elisabetta wished, if you had known?" The question was in his mind, but he would not ask it. She'd been so strong, so steadfast. Clearly, she'd been prepared to die, painfully, rather than abandon her principles. Would she have held out if it had meant a hideous death for her friend? "You want to talk to him," he said. "Explain what happened. He might need a bit of time." There was silence for a while. "About the other thing," Stasia said shakily. "What you said. The forest. The hermit. I'll need to talk to him about that too. Find out what he wants to do. And I haven't said yes. It's hard for me to believe you're not asking me to do exactly what the ruler wants. It's hard to believe this is not all a trick." "I understand why you wouldn't trust us, Stasia. All I can say is, we got you and Lucas out, and our reasons for wanting to reach the hermit have nothing to do with amber or trading. You wouldn't be able to go into the forest anywhere near the settlement," she said. "And I don't know any other ways in." "I do," he said, lowering his voice further. "I was there once before." Even now, speaking of it hurt. He'd hoped he might not need to. Not yet.
"Really? When?"
"When I was young. A child of 10. An adventure. An exploration. We were with family. The place lay north of your settlement. Not right on the forest edge, but close. I think the way we took might also lead to that lake you mentioned. The place where we found amber." There was judgment in her tone. "Yes, but we knew nothing of that. Don't ask me to tell the story. Not yet." Stasia made no comment, still judging him, still doubting him. He reminded himself that she had been alone and afraid not very long ago, thinking herself on the brink of death and no doubt wrestling with her conscience. "Before we go in," he said, "I have something of yours to return." He reached into a concealed pocket and brought out the amber owl, whose broken cord had been replaced by a fine silver chain. It was just as well Elisabetta had trusted him to lock it away somewhere safe and had not asked to see it recently. "Here," he said, putting it in Stasia's hand. The little bird that was Flip gave a chirrup. Was he imagining the happiness in that sound? "My owl," Stasia whispered. "I thought I'd lost it forever. You had it all this time?"
"It was locked away in a chest at court. I removed it before we left for Raven's Watch, thinking it would be safer in my keeping. May I help?"
She was struggling with the clasp. At her nod, he stood behind her and fastened the chain around her neck.
Briefly, his fingers brushed her skin. Briefly, a curl of her hair fell across his hand, soft as a feather. The bird turned its head with a jerk, pointing its beak straight at his face, and he drew his hands away. It had stayed in that form throughout the journey. No sign of the little dog. It would take him a long time to get used to the oddity of that. "We'd best go in," he said. "It's getting cold." Halfway back, Stasia came to a sudden halt. "What about Lucas?" she asked in a murmur. "He's not looking well. He needs time to recover." "A climb like that. I thought we'd find somewhere for him to stay, at a safe distance from Hartwood. A place with folk who can look after him, nurse him back to good health. Folk like Lima and Ivo? Could he go back there?" "Sadly, no. That farm is too close to Dragon's Keep. There are other places, more out of the way. I don't expect him to undertake the climb to the Hermit. He's been through more than enough." Stasia considered for a moment. "You need to tell him what you've told me, and make sure he knows I haven't said yes. He'll want to be treated like the man he is, courageous and kind. He'll want to make up his own mind." "You're the one he trusts, Stasia. You tell him."
28. Stasia. "I don't want to talk," Lucas said. "There's nothing to say." He'd come outside with her reluctantly. They could hardly talk about it in the barn, under the scrutiny of the others, but his tone was forbidding, and he would not meet her eye. "You need to hear this, Lucas. I got it wrong. I had no idea the ruler intended to do that to you. I was expecting to be whipped myself. I was upset and I didn't hear them properly. You know how it is when sometimes I can't think straight and everything's just noise and I hardly even know where I am. I'm sorry, Lucas. I'm sorry you've been caught up in all this." "I said I don't want to talk." She could hear the unspoken message clear as day. "How do I know you're not lying? Besides, would you have done what she wanted if you'd known it was me waiting to be whipped to death? You wouldn't have, would you?" And that wasn't fair. He knew quite well that she found lying impossible. He knew about those times when she felt overwhelmed and lost touch with what was right in front of her. "You need to..." she began, but Lucas had already turned away and was heading back toward the cottage. He was moving awkwardly, as if in pain. Stasia did not follow him straight away. She lingered outside, sickened that her dear friend believed she would have let him die, and at the same time not sure what choice she would have made if she had known the truth. Facing her own death to protect the forest had been truly terrifying, but she had known she could not give in. To condemn Lucas to a hideous fate was different. It was unthinkably cruel, an impossible choice. What would Lucas have done if he had been in her position? The answer to that was obvious. He would have saved her life. Lucas loved the forest. He understood her commitment to protect and preserve it. But for him, family and friends would always come first. Would she ever be able to make things right with him again? It wasn't until the sudden sharp call of a passing bird startled her that Stasia realized she had been biting her nails to the quick. She looked up to see that she was not alone. Mattis was by the cottage door, arms folded, leaning against the wall. While he was apparently deep in thought, gazing out over a stand of willows as the long day at last turned to dusk, she recognized that he was on watch, not only to deal with unwanted visitors, but also to ensure she didn't try to run away, foolish as it would have been to attempt that under the circumstances. The idea had occurred to her. She and Lucas knew how to find a way through the forest, how to build a shelter, how to make fire, how to forage. Once well into Hartwood Forest, they could have snatched an opportunity to disappear, then gone to ground until Alexis's party gave up looking for them. Though what the next step would have been after that, she had no idea. And one thing seemed certain now, the two of them would not be escaping together. By the time she went back inside, Lucas was lying face down on a bench,
with his shirt and tunic off, and Carolus was dabbing something onto a raw-looking patch on his side. Could it be that the burns Lucas suffered when he rescued his father had never been properly tended to? How many people at court had been telling lies? Perhaps Alexis was one of them. He said he'd tell a story to explain himself later, but maybe there was no story. On the other hand, if he was doing the ruler's bidding, why the covert departure by night, straight after he and the others had returned from a long day's ride? That made no sense, unless it was an elaborate trick to convince her the ruler's senior advisor was friend, not foe. But this was too hard. She was tired and cold, and worse, she could not forget that look on Lucas's face, the one that had said, "You are not my friend."
"I'll brew some tea," said Mattis. "Not the answer to all problems, but generally welcome. Carolus, are you and Lucas nearly done? I want to put a dressing on this, won't be long. After that, tea would be just the thing. And after that, I'll show you all some exercises that can be useful to ease the soreness after a long ride. We've got more of it ahead, and probably some rougher places to sleep in along the way. Ideally, we'd all go through this routine every day before we head out, or in the evening. Just stretching, mainly."
"Good idea," Pavel said with a smile. "But I warn you, this man's a hard taskmaster, I know from experience." "Adjusted to suit each person's ability, as always."
An idea came to Stasia. She spoke quickly, before she could change her mind. "About keeping fit enough to travel, I was thinking if we could have one more night here, or possibly two. Lucas could ride on his own instead of going up behind someone else." All eyes were on her now, save those of Lucas himself. She willed him not to challenge her. It felt uncomfortable to have the others' full attention, but it also felt right. Whether she ended up saying yes or no to Alexis, there was no doubt she and Lucas would have to stay with the group at least as far as the forest edge. Better to make herself an equal partner in this, whatever it was, than feel like a person who couldn't think for herself. And it would give us longer to learn these exercises, whatever they are.
"We'd be short of a horse," Pavel said.
"That shouldn't be a problem," Mattis said. "Leon will let us take one of his, I'm sure, provided it comes back to him in good condition. But," he glanced at Alexis.
"It makes sense," Stasia said. "After what's happened, a full day's rest would be good for all of us and the horses. I'm not used to spending a whole day in the saddle. For some of you, it's been 2 days. I know it's important to move quickly. In the long run, this would help."
29. Alexis. Was it because she had her amber owl back? Could such a small thing make such a difference? Or was this the quality he'd seen in her on that first day, when she stepped out in front of a crowd to put all her focus on that terrified horse, work out what was wrong, and somehow fix it? Back at Hartwood, people seemed to think she was odd, awkward. What he'd seen was a leader in the making. She could be an asset to his cause. But she still didn't trust him, and might not do so even when she heard his story. For a while, that fine, courageous person had lost herself. And no wonder. What she'd been through was enough to shatter the strongest. And now he saw her again, saw what the future might hold with her on the team. Foolish to entertain such thoughts. Why would she ever want to help him? As soon as Hartwood was free of the ruler's men, she'd go back there, settle into her solitary life, be at peace. Marry Lucas, perhaps. Though now there was a rift between them that would be hard to mend. Lucas was doing everything he could to avoid speaking to her. He wasn't saying much to anyone. Alexis had seen the expression on Carolus's face when he tended to those injuries and knew they were bad. An inflamed burn, bruises everywhere. The goatherd had good reason to be out of sorts. And although Stasia kept herself busy, she often looked as if she were holding back tears. His mind was too much occupied with this. He had a plan, She was cooperating with it so far, and there was no point in trying to predict the future. He'd get his team to the forest. He'd make sure Elisabetta's men didn't track them down. They'd reach the lake, and Stasia would guide them on from there. They'd reach a place that felt safe enough, and he would tell her the story. And then they would go on. To the hermit, or as close to it as they needed to. If there was anything he believed from the old tales, it was that the place held secrets. A person might say it held magic. Maybe not the magic those ancient storytellers believed in, with spells and transformations, but there were other kinds of magic. The magic of the sun rising in the east every morning. The magic of the stars appearing in the night sky. The magic of finding something lost. Stasia had been right about waiting. After two nights, Lucas was able to ride on his own, and they moved on. When they were riding, Flip accompanied them as a bird. By night, she returned to dog form, keeping Stasia warm when they sheltered in their makeshift camps. Alexis was never quite sure if the changing was something Flip did on her own, or if Stasia was in control. Right now, it was convenient for everyone. The dog was too short-legged to keep pace with the group, and he could not imagine balancing Flip on a horse while riding. He wondered if the creature thought like a dog, or a bird, or more like a human. He wondered if Flip was to be trusted. Might she be used as a messenger, able to fly ahead and bring back vital information? He couldn't ask Stasia about this. It would only increase her suspicion of his motives. "It doesn't matter what she thinks of you," he told himself sharply. "Her approval is not required, only her agreement." And he reminded himself that although he was no longer the ruler's senior advisor, he now had a far more important job to do. He must direct all his skills to achieving the goal. He could not afford to be distracted. Not every night could be spent in the shelter of a safe house. The ruler's men would be seeking them out. Some of those places presented too high a risk, not only to his team, but also to those ready to provide safe haven. This must not descend into a bloodbath. His companions were practiced at making camp quickly and efficiently, with minimal light and noise. They were good at finding concealed spots that suited the purpose, under the shallow overhang of a rock formation, or in a hollow defended by thorn bushes. There came an evening when they reached what seemed a suitable spot, a derelict building by a burial ground, where oddly shifting shadows suggested the presence of ghosts, or would do if a person believed in such things. But Flip did not like that place. In dog form, with her ears laid back and her eyes wide, she stood rooted to the spot, whining. Stasia dismounted, picked her up, tucked the little one into the hood of her cloak, and scrambled back to the saddle unaided. So much for his doubts about transporting a dog on horseback. They rode on in silence and made camp later in a nearby woodland. Everyone was edgy. To reach the point where Alexis planned to enter the forest, they would need to skirt close to the village of Sweetwater, where folk might recognize Stasia or Lucas. With the commander and his men still in the general area, there was a possibility of running into someone who would alert him to their presence. If Rihard got word that Stasia was travelling with them, disaster might follow. Alexis had a plan for that possibility, but he shrank from needing to use it. He would have to convince Rihard that they were in fact following instructions from the ruler and hope the commander would sanction their expedition without insisting they take some of his own men with them. Ideally, they'd be seen by nobody, but that was unlikely. Going by night might arouse particular suspicion should someone happen to be outside after dark as they rode past. So, one cover story for Rihard's men, and perhaps another for the local folk. But if Elisabetta had acted promptly, word might already have reached Rihard that they'd left Dragon's Keep and who was in their party. Rihard's men might have told the locals to keep a lookout. Silent. Quick. Invisible. But there were problems with that.
They'd have to stop at the last safe house to get the horses settled, and to catch some rest before they headed on into the forest. And they needed to know how things stood in Hartwood. What was the situation of the folk there? Had Rihard made further advances toward the hermit, maybe as far as the lake they intended to pass? And although Lucas was sunk in grim silence much of the time, Alexis thought he might want to know if his people were safe and well, or as well as they could be under the circumstances. If the goatherd could be assured of that, he'd be less likely to take some unpredictable action and put them all at risk. They talked about the options around their fire. A small one, adequate for boiling water, but insufficient to keep all of them warm enough. It came naturally, now, to speak in something just above a whisper. Though it seemed they were alone, save for an owl that contributed a sombre call now and then. "We can't send anyone right into Hartwood," Mattis said. "We're all known to someone there, either the commander's men or the locals. What we need is a general picture, how much damage has been done since we left, our folk going about their daily business as usual and so on. We need to see without being seen, that's the challenge." Alexis waited for Stasia to offer the services of Flip, but she did not speak. "You're the giant among us, Mattis," he said. "Too easy to spot." "And you're the indispensable leader," said Pavale, with a smile. "Not you, either."
"I could go," Stasia began.
"No, you've got a job ahead that nobody else can do. Besides, think what might happen if you were seen." She gave Alexis a look. "The same sort of thing that would happen to any of us. If you're the leader, that's your choice. Whoever takes this on, takes on the risk." Carolus and Pavale both spoke at once, then halted, looking at each other. Perhaps both had been intending to volunteer, but Stasia spoke next, surprising them.
"I have a suggestion. My cottage should be empty. I can't see anyone choosing to stay there in my absence. The local people are wary of the place. One of you could shelter there. From just a bit further along the hillside, you can get a good view. You need to be careful to stay under the forest edge, out of sight, and not stay too long. And if Pavale goes, he should wear a hat. His hair makes him easier to spot."
They all looked at Pavale, whose head of honey gold hair did indeed mark him out.
"I'll shave your head if you want," suggested Carolus, lifting a brow. "With that blunt thing of Mattis's? No, thank you. The hat will do. What do you say, Alex?
We need to arrange a meeting place, somewhere I can find you afterwards. And I'd have to go in on foot. Could be slow." "It's too high a risk for the small amount of information we'd get out of it, Pavale. And you'd be unlikely to spot anyone you recognised without being seen yourself."
"I could get a general idea of how things stand there. Without that, we might head into the forest and walk straight into Rihard's men coming the other way. Some of those men are our friends. We've worked alongside them. Just imagine it. The pitched battle against our own, on those narrow pathways. It doesn't bear thinking about."
Alexis was reminded how young Pavale was. A year or two, Lucas's senior at most. He was reminded that being a leader brought the kind of challenges no man wants to face.
"We have to leave the horses at the safe house before any of us enters the forest. It's closer to Sweetwater than is ideal, but they can accommodate animals. We'd wait there for you. Their farmland borders the forest. I think you could make your way to Hartwood Settlement in a day and a half on foot, possibly less. But I'm far from sure it's worth the risk involved."
He'd have to ask her.
"Stasia, may I have a word with you in private?" When they were camped out in the open, a private talk meant walking a certain distance from the fire and hoping the others couldn't overhear. They went to the spot where their horses, hobbled, stood quietly, under the spreading limbs of a beech. Flip came with them, trotting along at Stasia's heels. At her approach, the horses shifted, suddenly restless.
"Don't answer this if you don't want to," Alexis said.
"Can Flip carry messages when she's in bird form? Can she pass on information to you in some way?" It was too dark for him to read Stasia's expression. He knew he was treading on perilous ground.
You're asking if she could be sent to Hartwood instead of Pavel? Or are you trying to get me to admit to some kind of witchcraft? That felt like a slap in the face.
Do you really need to ask me that?
Don't we know each other well enough now for such a question to be plainly ridiculous? What, the idea that I might be using magic, or the idea that you might accuse me of something punishable by death? One moment you're acting as part of the team, and the next you're speaking to me as if I were... as if I were Rihard or Elisabetta. He ordered himself to stop talking, to draw a breath, to remember why he was here and not at court doing his job. I'm not accusing you of anything. I mean no harm, Stasia. I swear it. I'm asking because I think maybe Philip can help us. And all I want to know is whether that's possible, and whether you and she would be prepared to do it. She was silent for a little. You're asking me to talk about something nobody else knows. It's hard for me to trust anyone with this, Alex. It was the first time she had used this form of his name. She had an almost uncanny ability to remind him that beneath the court advisor, the ruler's trusted confidant, the leader, there was just a man, an ordinary man, as prone to weakness and self-doubt as any other, a man who sometimes longed for everything to be as it had been when he was 10 years old, before his world changed. I did say you need not answer. Stasi heaved a sigh. The answer is yes and no. She can be asked to bring back information, but only the simplest, the kind of thing you could explain in pictures. And she can't take a message to someone else, only to me. Not in words, it's more thoughts and feelings. A dog can't speak human language, and a woman can't speak the tongue of dogs or birds. Although he could barely see her in the night, Alexis knew her eyes were turned on him. He felt it all through his body. A gaze of such intensity could only be met by another of the same. He squared his shoulders and drew a deep breath. I promise I won't pass this information on to anyone else. So, you're saying she could be sent to do this particular job, but perhaps what we need to know is too complex, or you have other reasons for not wanting to ask this of her. It's more that she doesn't want to do it. I can feel it. She doesn't want to go back without me. She's afraid. And that tells you what? That none of us should go? Stasia did not answer straight away. She bent to gather Flip up. She can't explain. It doesn't work that way. But her mind is full of things that could go wrong. Death, loss, disaster. She wants to stay with me, and I know I'm not the right person to go to Hartwood. A polite cough alerted them to the presence of Mattis, standing a discreet distance away, his tall form silhouetted by the fire. Tea's brewed, and then you should both get some sleep, whatever the decision is. What do you think, Mattis? Alexis kept his voice down, wanting only his old friend's opinion. Mattis made safe choices, not reckless ones. He was a steady companion, a reliable advisor, and Stasia trusted him. We can't guess the situation with Rihard, but up till the time we left Dragon's Keep, there was no mention of his being withdrawn by the ruler. Pavel would have known if she'd set that in motion. Word spreads quickly among the guards. In the morning, whatever we decide, we must move on to the farm and settle the horses in. We should leave early, at the very first light. The fellow who lives there won't talk out of term, I know that. Even so, he should be given as little information as possible. If Pavel's going to do this, we should part ways before we reach that place. We give him supplies and a good cover story. We take his horse to the farm along with ours. The farmer never sees him. How do we explain the extra horse? Stasia asked. We don't, Alexis said. The less explanation, the better.
The folk in our safe houses know, in a general way, what this endeavour is all about. They believe in our cause. They understand why we don't give them a lot of detail.
Tea, said Mattis. It's late.
And Lucas is sitting over there half asleep but trying to keep his eye on you two. If he's to ride again tomorrow, he needs rest.
Alex, I think you can trust Pavel with this. He's eager to help. He knows the risk.
30. Stasia. 2 days had passed since Pavel left on his solitary mission. 2 days cooped up in this place, with far too much time for brooding. On this farm, they were all accommodated in a barn. Horses at one end in stalls, Alexis's team at the other. The farmhouse was quite a distance away, and they'd seen little of its occupants, though fodder for their horses and supplies for themselves were left outside the barn door daily. Once or twice Alexis had gone out to talk to someone, but he did not report back, and nobody asked. Lucas still hadn't talked to her, not properly, and it hurt. They were on the very edge of the great forest, so close she could feel it, breathe it, smell it. She longed to walk up over the fields and in under the trees, to find a mossy rock and sit there for a while, on her own or with Lucas. The trees called to her. She needed to acknowledge them. And up there, her friend might have been prepared to talk. But Alexis had made it clear nobody could leave the barn except to draw water from the well or to relieve themselves. The risk of being seen was too high. Even Mattis was edgy. There was a shadow over them all, something new and troubling. Perhaps it was being uncomfortably close to Sweetwater. When Stasia finally managed to sleep on the second night, her dreams were full of bad memories. She saw the ancestor toppling. She felt the fragile neck bones of that tiny, damaged creature snapping under her fingers. She heard the crackling of fire and the screams. She saw Irina plunging the knife into her own heart and the whip laying raw the flesh of Lucas's back. A stroke upon cruel stroke, the punishment forced the life from him. She woke from that nightmare with a start, her heart pounding, her face wet with tears. All right, Stasia? Someone asked her. And in the darkness of the barn, she could not tell who it was. Not Carolus. The men were taking turns at sentry duty in case of unwelcome night visitors, and Stasia could see him standing very still by the half door, a faint light turning his bearded features into those of some warrior from an ancient story. That was not cold moonlight, but the approach of dawn. "Hmm?" she said. "Sorry, did I wake you?" Perhaps she had been sobbing, or screaming, or saying something she wouldn't have wanted anyone to hear. Oh, for her own little house, and her own little hearth fire, and the peace of being alone with Flip. Would she ever return there to pick up her old life? She thought of the picture on her wall, Mother, and her creatures. Imagined Pavel looking at that image right now, perhaps by flickering candlelight. "I was awake already," Alexis said. "Bad dreams?" "Hmm?" "Pavel may be back by the end of the day, if he's made good time, and we can move on." Stasia sat up, arms around her knees. Flip wriggled, then settled again on the straw pallet. Mattis rolled over heavily. "Must be close to sunup," he said. "Birds are starting a conversation out there." No sound from Lucas. Whether he too was awake, there was no telling. Another day to get through, maybe more. Days when she couldn't walk up to the forest edge, so near, but yet so far. Days when she couldn't be on her own for longer than it took to go out to the privy, a ramshackle shed over a pit, and then come back in again. The dark things started to crowd in again, filling her mind, blotting out everything good. The verse, she had to say the verse. "The oak's deep roots, I too will be strong.
she whispered her way through it, taking her time, making herself breathe. I, too, will dance. She pictured Mother again, this time walking barefoot on the shore of clear water, with a retinue of creatures following. They were not the same as those in the painted image. There was a kind-faced black bear, a handsome red fox, a young goat with proud horns. In the trees close by, a squirrel kept pace, leaping, climbing, scampering, so quick it seemed less creature than flash of light. A keen-eyed hawk flew above. Oh, there was a story to tell. The creatures walked with purpose. Where were they going and why? Would they finish their journey? Who would fly and who would fall? Would there ever be a time for dancing? She lay down again. Flip snuggled close, welcoming the warmth. Outside, more birds were joining in the dawn greeting, their voices chiming sweet and strong. Awake! Awake! The story teased at her, calling out to be told. If she had to be shut away in a barn, even when the sun was shining and the birds were singing and the forest was just out there waiting, there had to be a way she could push back the storm of fears and troubles that was filling up her head. There had to be a way to get through the day. And there was, of course. What could be better than telling tales? Perhaps not that tale, though it had seized her imagination now. How could she invent an ending for it until Alexis told the story he held so close? And even then, it was not for her to finish it. All of them would play a part. Some folk loved to tell stories. For some, like Lucas, it depended on who was listening. She knew he told stories to his young sisters at bedtime. Perhaps because of that, his tales tended to be of heroic adventures, and all of them had happy endings. It came to Stasia, looking across the barn at Lucas and Carolus working through the exercises together, that this might be a way to get her friend talking to her again. The bond between them had been as strong as the roots of an old oak. It couldn't be broken forever. She waited until all of them were eating their breakfast, seated on benches near the little stove. "I'm finding it hard to be cooped up inside with not much to do," she said. "Why don't we tell some stories, Lucas?" Lucas mumbled something. She drew a deep breath and let it out slowly. Yes, he was angry with her. But there were other reasons for his dark mood. He longed to go home. He was desperate to check on his family. He was injured. She couldn't expect him to act as if nothing had changed. "Mattis, how about you?" she queried, hoping for better luck. Mattis grinned. "I need time to think something up. I'm a bit out of practice. Maybe later in the day?" "Makes sense," said Carolus. "Lucas, I want to check those burns and bandage up what needs covering before we're on the move again. We'll need time for that this morning. When it's done, I'll be happy to tell a story. I'm seriously tempted to include a few warrior monks, or would that be a bit close to the bone?" "How about warrior toads?" suggested Mattis. "It's all too easy to imagine a certain leader as a toad," Carolus said with a crooked smile. "I'll give it serious thought. How about you, Alex?" Alexis glanced Stasia's way. "My mind is too much on other matters. The rest of you do as you wish later in the day. For now, make sure you're ready for travel. Provided Pavel gets back tonight, we'll be making an early start. The farmer will supply us with some rations." "And if you haven't run through your exercises yet, do it," Carolus said. "We have a very long walk ahead. Or more of a climb, from the sound of it. With surprises along the way. That's if there's truth in those old tales." Mattis had finished eating and was adding wood to the stove. "I'll warm up more water. Last chance for a good wash. It'll be cold dips in a stream from now on, I imagine." "Clear water's not bad for swimming," said Stasia. "But cold, yes." An image came to her. Mother on the shore, her creatures with her, startling
in their odd companionship. She wondered what surprises this journey would hold, what dangers, maybe what opportunities. If they climbed high enough, travelled far enough, they might find both wonder and terror. Both were present in the old stories. Then, of course, there was the undeniable fact that in none of those tales did human folk ever reach the hermit and return home alive and well. Now was not the time to dwell on that. The day unfolded. After the bath, a stand-up wash in a shallow pan of warm water, but still welcome, Carolus dealt with Lucas's burns once more, while the others got to work feeding the horses, preparing food, hanging clothing by the stove to dry, and packing things away. They worked through the exercises, each in their own time. Stasia noticed that Lucas was having what looked like a proper conversation with Carolus, though she was too far away to hear what they were saying. This was definitely an improvement on the brooding silences that were so unlike her old friend. When the salving and bandaging were done, Lucas lay down on his pallet and closed his eyes. Whether he was exhausted from the treatment, or troubled about the coming journey, or simply wanted to shut out the rest of them for a while, Stasia could not guess. It did not bode well for the long challenge ahead. As if to recognize that challenge, the farmer brought over a pot full of hearty stew, rich in mutton and vegetables. He called quietly from outside the half-door to let them know it was there, but by the time Mattis went to collect it, along with a package of provisions for the road, the man was gone. They ate in silence, each deep in their own thoughts. Flip accepted a share of Stasia's meal, but was plainly unsettled. Every sudden move startled her. At every sound beyond a murmur, she was sharply alert, checking the danger. Eventually, Stasia carried the dog to her pallet and sat with Flip on her lap, sharing soothing images in silence. The men got on with clearing up after the meal. None of them looked in her direction. Whether Alexis had spoken to any of the others about their earlier conversation, perhaps revealing what she had told them about her link with Flip, there was no knowing. She had not asked him to keep it secret. But Alexis surely understood the peril of sharing such information, even with, what, a friend? An ally? This group could hardly be called a team. She and Lucas were only here because they'd had no choice. She wished she could trust Alexis, but how could she, when he still wouldn't explain why they were doing this? If only she could ask Flip what was troubling her, but that would mean showing the little dog a series of possible disasters, falling down a cliff, losing the way in the mist and never finding it again, being confronted by uncanny beings intent on harm. Is it this, or this, or maybe this? Even gathering and eating the wrong sort of mushrooms was a deadly danger. Stasia simply stayed quiet and held the dog close. She turned her thoughts not to terror, but to simple beauty. The peace of the great forest. The songs of many birds, blending into a great tapestry of sound. The delicate footprints of a hedgehog. The soothing sound of wavelets washing onto the shore as a family of swans passed by, ruffling the still water, the fragile, perfect wings of a butterfly. On her lap, Flip settled, her eyes closed, her breathing slow and steady. They gathered later by the stove. Mattis brewed tea. This orderly activity had become something of a ritual. Stasia passed the cups around. Storytelling time was here, and suddenly she was lost for words. "Who's going first?" asked Carolus. "Any volunteers?" "Stasia should be first." Stasia nearly spilled her tea. Coming from Alexis, this felt a little like an attack, not a lethal sword thrust. It felt more like the opening move in a game of combat, in which the weapons were words. The only way to answer it was with a swift counter-move. "I'll start my story now," she said, "but I won't tell all of it, just the beginning. We have a long distance to travel, and we'll need to stop at night.
Sometimes it'll be cold and uncomfortable. We may be tired or scared. And it's at times like those that people most need a good story. I'll tell you part of mine as we go, any time it feels right. And if any of you wants to do the same, you can.
That's some challenge, observed Kyrillus. A test of the memory, among other things. You're right, though. It might help us stay sharp when we're feeling weighed down or worn down.
Not sure I'm up for an epic, Mattis sounded amused. What say we add an easier option? Tell a short tale, if you're in the mood, or a longer one in installments. That way we get a mix of the heroic saga with the sort of thing that gives you a good laugh. There was a murmur of agreement. They had kept their voices low all day, mindful of the risk of unwanted visitors. Stasia glanced Lucas's way and got a nod in return, a slight recognition, but it was enough to warm her heart. Somewhere, deep down, her kind friend was still there.
Once upon a time, she began, in a place that was either near or far, either in this world or in another, a strange set of companions set out on a journey. There was a far-seeing hawk, a brave red fox, a strong black bear with kind eyes, a nimble squirrel whose coat bore a sheen like gold. Where they were going, nobody knew. Folk watched them pass with wonder in their eyes, for might not a fox or hawk catch and devour a squirrel? Might not a bear, in its turn, make a quick end of the fox? But the four moved on as one, in peace and purpose, the hawk flying above, the others following, each in his own fashion. There came a time for rest. The companions sheltered in the lee of a stone wall encrusted with moss. Hawk perched in the strong branches of a venerable oak. Squirrel found a convenient hollow in that same tree, and after checking that it was not already occupied, settled himself there. Bear and fox dug out a shallow depression in the earth by the wall and curled up together for warmth. The night was long. The moon shone bright. Owls called their wise prophecies into the chill air, but whether anyone understood them, I cannot say. The companion slept, or half slept, for Hawk never quite shut his eyes, and the others were restless, their thoughts on the long way ahead. Now it happened that nearby, a great ill had fallen on a peaceful place. The animals who lived there, goats, sheep, chickens, lived good enough lives, though a life can be short indeed if one's fate is to become food for humankind. They had learned to accept what they could not change. They were grateful for the safety of the walled field, the freedom to graze together in the sun, the fresh water in the trough, and the kindness of their keepers, some of whom brought treats such as fresh carrots, and some of whom brushed them, and some of whom sang them sweet songs and held them with gentle hands right up to the moment of death. Wild creatures, too, dwelt in that place, in the secret parts of the great forest. Those of the farm and those of the forest lived close but separate. But now everything had changed. The orderly farms were no more, their work disrupted, their stock no longer cared for, their good folk set to ill work under threat of violence. The only choice for those who could still move freely was to flee that place and seek a new life elsewhere. Not a sound from her audience. Was Lucas wiping away a tear? He at least had recognized himself in this tale. So it was that when the sky began to lighten and the birds were heralding the approach of dawn, a small band of travellers awoke to find that they had company. Their strangely assorted crew had become still stranger, for nearby stood a sturdy, long-horned goat who looked ready to take on the most fearsome of them. That was Bear, without a doubt, despite his kind eyes, should it prove necessary to do so. And there was another with him, or maybe two others.
Now bears do not speak the same tongue as goats, any more than hawks and squirrels share a spoken language. But there are ways of understanding even between creatures so different in form and character. The gaze, the stance, the way the hackles rise, or the wings lift, or the head turns. The silent tongue can be more eloquent than the voice. The goat dipped his head, as if in recognition of the strangers. When the great horns rose again, the goat had his eyes on Hawk, seeing him immediately as the one to whom any sort of approach must be made. The bird had by this time flown down from his perch in the oak and settled himself atop the dry stone wall just beside the bear. He put his head on one side as if to say, "Go on then." At this point, Mattis put up a hand as if to indicate a question. Stasi gave a nod of encouragement. "What about the other one you mentioned? Or two? Did they show themselves?" It was a good question. She'd have to include herself and Flip in this tale. The tale she'd had no intention of telling yet. The tale that had insisted on being told. The trouble was, she hadn't yet worked out what animal she would be. Nothing seemed quite right. An owl, perhaps? But that didn't work, since the group had to travel mostly by day. Ah, she had it. As the goat considered his reply, his two companions emerged from the woodland behind him. One was a little dog, the sort of creature you would expect to find sleeping on a mat in a cosy cottage. It was so small, a hawk could have seized it and ripped it apart in moments. It was not much more than a mouthful for a hungry bear. The look in its eyes as it cast its gaze around the strange company was not one of terror, as you might expect, but of careful examination. A person might translate that look as, "Are you worthy? Are you brave? Are you fit to travel with us?" As for the goat's other companion, nobody was quite sure what she was. A warrior? A human woman? A ghost? Or something else, perhaps, from another world? She wore a grey cloak that seemed sometimes like mist, and sometimes like shadow, and sometimes like ordinary wool. Her hood shielded her features. All that could be seen was a pair of bright eyes regarding them gravely. In one hand she bore a staff of oak, in the other a bag that made a sound as she moved, as if it might hold shells or pebbles or fragments of glass, or indeed something far stranger, bones maybe. Bear padded forward a few steps. He halted before the woman, if woman she was, and dipped his head in a gesture of respect. "Welcome here, stranger. We will not harm you." It happened, by odd chance, that he had guessed who she was. Once, 2 winters ago, such a woman had taken a painful thorn from the foot of his mate and had spent time salving the hurt, and he knew what she was. A storyteller. The little dog was her heart friend. Once Bear had made the first move, the others came up one by one to greet the newcomers, each in his own fashion. Hawk was last to do so. Like most of his kind, he was naturally wary. He knew humankind could not always be trusted. Hawk was leading his friends into danger, but it was a danger they understood, a quest they had agreed upon. The goat, the dog, and the storyteller were an unknown quantity. Stasia paused, taking a sip of her tea. She made herself look at her companions, wondering if the manner of her tale might have offended them. She was about to call a halt when Mattis said, "Go on then, if you will."
"I hope nobody gets eaten in this tale," said Carolus.
Alexis set his cup down. His gaze was intent, his dark eyes fixed on Stasia. "This might almost be part of my own story," he commented, "but you cannot know how it unfolds, or why." "None of us knows," Lucas spoke at last. Anastasia knew instantly that her story had touched the right part of her old friend, the heart,
the goodness he had somehow held on to through everything, though it had surely hung by a thread.
"That's the magic of stories," he went on.